boxed, ready for Saturday morning's Greyhound Racing Wrap. Across Victoria, RSN 927 is talking greyhounds.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to another edition of Talking Greyhounds on St. Patrick's Day. So a very warm welcome to all our Irish listeners today, although I suppose everyone's part Irish today for St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Simone.
Thank you, John. Yeah, always an exciting day, isn't it? Plenty of Irish spirit around.
And may the luck of the Irish be with you wherever you are placing a bet today. What is on our show this day, Simone?
Well, today I'll be talking to Calvin Greeno about his win in the Horsham Cup and also to Michael Floyd about the launching pad heats that were run at Sandown Thursday.
We knew Jimmy was going to win a big race, didn't we?
He had to.
Yeah.
And, he had to.
well done to Calvin Greeno. Let's talk about the news of the week. We might as well start with Jimmy winning a Group 2.
Well, finally, he's placed in a Group 2, and he was too good in the final, wasn't he? Jumped from box one. I know Calvin would have preferred box eight, but
yeah.
I think this greyhound's been beginning, his last half a dozen starts, he's been beginning a lot better and more consistent. And
Therefore putting himself in a good position
in
the race, yeah.
Yeah, so I think a bit experience, he likes Horsham track, he's been there a number of times. So
long straight.
Yes, and I think he was, like you say, well overdue for a group win.
Well done, Kel.
Heats of the Easter Egg are to be run tonight. Many Victorian chasers heading back up the Hume. I know a couple of greyhounds will be heading there without a trial. Hecton Bale is one. A couple of Jeff Brittons are going up without a trial. Just the racing programming, it just hasn't allowed for them to get up there. And
that's the pups that are doing that are pretty experienced. But as the trainers know and punters know, that first turn at Wentworth Park, I think that's the most treacherous turn in greyhound racing with regard to that it can throw the greyhound off balance.
It certainly can. And also the boxes. There's just something slightly different about the boxes. But look, you can only do what you can do. And trials were Tuesday night. And I know Jeff Britton was saying the other day that it was just too close. It was too close to risk a greyhound going up Tuesday to trial, even a post-to-post, and then come back Saturday night. But last year's winner, the Easter Egg Strike a Light, will be attempting to make it back-to-back wins by getting through the series. Heat 2 looks fantastic. Out of Range, Blue Sky Riot and Chasing Crackers all drawn together. Then you've got Extreme Magic, Poke the Bear, Aston DB. Bewildering has been scratched, however, but dogs have to run in the first three to make it through to next week's semis. And those dogs there,
Division of Death, because there's so many good pups in that particular race. But I think from a training perspective, it is good to have the Easter Egg, the traditional 3 weeks, because that is a big effort to keep your dog at a top level to actually get through each of the heats and then to actually lift again for the final.
It is. Look, some people prefer the two-week series like the Melbourne Cup, but with a three-week series, you get that extra chance, don't you? You might just have had an unlucky third placing, but imagine if Hecton Bale ran third. It gives him another chance. In other series, he has to win. So, it's good to have that diversity in the series of, Group ones.
Always look forward to the Easter Egg. What else has
we
been
do.
Happening?
So a clean sweep from Victorians at Richmond last Friday night. The Brett Bravo-trained Honin took out the $40,000 Richmond Derby, and Blue Sky Riot for Anthony as a party took out the Oaks final, and Uphill Jewel ran second again. the launching pad heats were on Thursday night at Sandown, and we've seen some very talented chasers. So this is another three-week series, John, the semi-finals next week. $150,000 going to the winner on Easter Thursday.
Gee, that's good money.
Fantastic.
That's great money for pups at that level.
I just love the fact that they're not to have had more than six wins. And it really evens it out for everyone. You know, if you've got a smart young pup that's only had a few wins, the inexperience of some, it levels it out a bit more.
It does.
Trit recorded a new track record at Shepparton over the 650 metres for Brooke Ennis. The previous record was set almost 8 years ago by Nellie Noodle, so the time was 37:18, lowered it by about 0.02. But when they've been standing for that long, and when you think about the scientifics of the tracks, how they're prepared a little bit differently to 8 years ago perhaps, the surfaces may be slightly different, all that, and the fact it stood so long, a great effort there by Trit.
Smart pup.
GRV and Gap have opened the Gap Cafe in Melbourne. It's a fabulous move to promote greyhounds as pets, of course, but also what how well they adapt to inner city, city living. They don't need acres and acres to run around in every day. So people can bring their other dogs to this gap or this dog-friendly cafe where they can meet greyhounds, meet some that may be up for adoption, get to know the breed whilst having a coffee. So I think it's a fabulous move, seeing as everyone's grabbing coffee these days with their dogs sitting out the front of cafes.
Dogachino.
Gee, we'd have to have a few of those made at our place. But so GAP founders Melanie Tochner and Anita Smith were guests at the grand opening on Wednesday, along with Martin Pakula and GRV board members. So I think it's a great concept.
I agree. Yeah. Very good integration by all concerned.
And speaking of GAP, of course, today Sandown are hosting their Greyhound Community Adoption Day. And it's a free event, free food, free activities, giveaways. 22 dogs will be up for adoption, and it does celebrate GAP's 22nd year.
And just getting bigger and better. Let's hit the phone, Simone, and have a chat to a pretty happy Calgarino.
What's making news around the kennels?
Good morning, Calvin. Thank you for joining us on Talking Greyhounds this morning. And it's almost been a week, or has been a week, actually, since you took out the Horsham Cup with Jimmy Niewob. A terrific effort, considering he'd been knocking on the door for quite some time.
Yeah, thanks for that, Simone. It's never easy to win these races, and such a high-quality field, you just never know what's going to happen.
He came up with box one. Prior to the race, you did mention to me about the box draw that was reconducted, and he had the box eight originally, and you would have preferred the eight, but the box one was the box that he needed.
Yeah, as usual, I'm a bad judge. it just worked the opposite of the way I thought. When he raced at Bulleye, all the dogs sort of come down on top of him, and he was trying to hold them out, and consequently cost him winning the race, so... When he came up with the red again, I thought, oh, the same thing will probably happen. The dogs will be coming across him, but he actually had enough speed to just quite get there on the first corner and hold them out.
He had a little bit of pressure, but do you know how much pressure from behind the boxes? Obviously, Jackie handled him, but were greyhounds coming down on him, or he had enough room to move going into that first turn?
It wasn't like Bulleye. He actually had enough room to just keep getting his strides in instead of trying to hold the dogs off. So it made a difference. But he does like to go around dogs, and that's why I initially said that.
He's been beginning a lot more consistently, probably his half a dozen starts, finding the lead or getting up there a bit quicker. Do you think that's maturity? Are you doing anything at home that may suggest that that's why his box manners have improved?
Look, I haven't done any box manners. Sometimes it's just, you check a dog and you'll just work on certain injuries or whatever to make them begin better. And I think that's more to the key of this dog. It's just little things that sometimes make a difference. But, yeah, he probably is beginning a little bit better and showing a little bit more early pace. But at the end of the day, it's all about keeping the dog as good as you can get him and hoping for a bit of luck.
Well, he certainly had all the luck. So when he broke clear, were you fairly confident from that point that, nothing would run him down?
Yeah, I was. I switched back to Aston DB and thinking that, if there's any dog going to do it, it's him. But he sort of had enough ground on him and probably went away from him in the straight. So it was a good effort by Jimmy. And, Aston DB got held up a little bit through the bend, but probably not a great amount of length. But, look, it was a terrific race, and obviously the people up there on the night were enjoying themselves.
Oh, it was a terrific race, and it was the other way around in the Warrigal Cup, wasn't it? Aston DB first, Jimmy Niewob second. So it was great to see the tables turn.
Yeah, look, it was, and I think Aston DB was probably going a little bit better than us at the time, and he was just too good for us that night. And he's been a sensational dog and done a fantastic job, so... It's very hard to beat these sort of dogs, and when you do actually win a race against them, it feels very satisfying.
I'm sure it does. He ran second in the Harris and Dawson also in a Group 1 there. So, Cal, maybe this is the tides of turn for Jimmy Niewob. He knows what it's like to find the lead and get to the front and win these group races. But he did a lot of travelling up to Bulleye, and I mentioned to you before the heats going into the final that... if there's any greyhound that can handle travelling, it is Jimmy Niewob. So he seems to have gone through the Bulleye campaign and the Horsham campaign, which is a long way from your place, very well.
Yeah, he has. Look, the Bulleye trip wasn't great, and I don't think he probably was at his total best because I rent a house there. I rented an Airbnb house, and the dog really didn't settle as good as he should have. That's a pet-friendly house you can sort of rent, and I think it sort of turned against me in the finish that it was a problem, but it was probably my best choice of doing what I needed to do, and I don't think the dog settled as good as he should have. As in being in a kennel, it's obviously a lot easier when the dog's at home, but you try these things sometimes, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but you always look back and say, well, maybe we can improve in that area.
For sure. Now, you've decided to skip the Easter egg. What are your plans with Jimmy Neewob next?
Yeah, look, a little bit undecided at the moment. There's an Easter Cup at Sandown coming up in 2 weeks. We might have a go at that. Look, it's either a choice of Maitland or the Perth Cup, and the dog, I'm not sure whether Perth will suit him. Obviously, Maitland would suit him, but, you know, one race is nearly four times the amount of the other race, prize money-wise. And I guess travelling-wise, you know, one's probably a car trip for about 12 hours and the other one's a plane for 4 hours. So it's not an easy decision, and I don't think we've really come up with the right solution yet, but I don't really know which way we'll go.
Right. The thing I do like about this dog, Calvin, is his versatility. Put him over the 450s, he's competitive. Put him over the 500s, he's competitive. So although you've got a dilemma, I'm sure whatever way you decide to go, you know you've got a greyhound that's capable of either.
Yeah, and that's a great thing about a dog like him, that he is versatile and he has got enough speed to put himself in the picture, and he's got enough ability to be able to be competitive at both levels. So, yeah, look, it's always a hard decision, and you just hope you make the right one and hopefully land another group win.
Oh, I'm sure you will, Calvin. Congratulations again, and Two Connections, a terrific effort and a very popular win indeed. Well done.
Thanks very much, Simone.
RSN 927's Talking Greyhounds with Simone Fisher.
Yeah, Cal Greeno talking about last week's Horsham Cup winner, Jimmy Neewob. Plenty more group wins, I think, for that pup. But what about Fast Times, Simone? Your iPhone would have been absolutely in overdrive this week.
There have been some very fast times. So, again, I'd be here all day if I was reading them all, John. So I've tried to get a bit of a snapshot. Dinah Nina, a 22.45 at Geelong for Andrea Daly over the 400 there. True Talent, a 29.89 over the 525 at the Meadows for Shona Thompson. Bonnie Beauty ran a very fast 34.10 over the 600 at the Meadows for Joe Borg. I think we mentioned last week the track record's just under 33, so not far off that at all.
It's pretty good.
Trooper for Karen Leake, a 27.17 at Horsham over the 485. Zoom Out, a 24.92 at Shepparton for Michelle Malley and Magri over the 450. Burn Like Fire, it's been mentioned many times throughout the last few months for Ashley Terry, a 16.31 at Healesville up the 300-metre straight there, and up the 350-metre straight for Wayne Vassallo. Bling Dynasty ran at 19.09. Chief's Empire, a 23.07 at Horsham over the 410 there for Darren Brown. Mutant at Sale over the 520 there, a 29.30 for Debbie Coleman. And Mint Boy at Shepparton, a 21.91 over the 390 there for Rod Clark. Of course, there were the run by Trit Trit, Jimmy Neewob, and the runs at Sandown, but there was sort of many in the same around the same time standard, so I haven't mentioned them all.
It's the expert pick, Simone's Run of the Week.
You've got a bit of material to work with here again, Simone.
I certainly have, John, and all those runs at Sandown, we saw St David, we saw Beast Unleashed, Slingshot Gypsy even, she was amazing the way she just shanghaied out of the boxes, but the run that's really sort of, I think, sticking in my mind is that track record run at Shepparton for Trit Trit. I think if a track record has stood for that long, it just shows how hard it has been to break. So I'm giving it to Trit Trit over the 650 there at Shep.
Well done to Trit Trit and Brooke Innes. All right, we'll take a break here on RSN 927 and Talking Greyhounds. The other side will touch base with Sandown's Mickey Floyd.
Love your doggies. The Greyhound leader, RSN 927. Doggy News, from start to finish. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
Welcome back to Talking Greyhounds. I've got Michael Floyd, the media manager from Sandown, joining me now. Good morning, Mick.
Good morning, Simone.
Gee, a good night of racing at Sandown on Thursday night with heats of the launching pad the club must have been wrapped with this year's series.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of those series that you really know how good it'll be in about 6 months' time when these dogs have got a bit more experience and a bit more group race form around them. But just looking at the way the races went Thursday night, this is going to be a red-hot series, and the racing showed that.
Certainly did. You sold all tickets too for entries into the series. So that's 64 tickets at $2,000 each. That was very pleasing, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. The demand at the end of, as we got close to the selling of them all out, the demand went through the roof. So we could have sold a lot more tickets, but there only 64 available. Those who got in early got rewards. And with $410,000 in prize money over the 3 weeks, there's every reason to get involved. So well done to everyone who jumped in early and got a ticket.
For sure. Now, the thing I like about this series, Michael, is the fact that the greyhounds, it's 1-6 wins. So it really evens out the greyhounds, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a good call because it was your format's obviously changed over the years and you've tweaked things. But I just think it's just a good call that you've got more inexperienced chasers against each other rather than group dogs that can come in and start racing for that sort of prize money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the launching pad has been going for around about 20 years now, and it's always been that that series for the inexperienced dogs. When we went to the sweepstakes format, we decided to keep it at that that sort of level, so that it gives those dogs early in their career an opportunity to race against other dogs at the same experience level and race for excellent prize money. And we're delighted that the participants from around the country have supported the series. A number of interstaters not only competed on Thursday night, but have got through to the semi-finals as well. And when you see a series like this that has run it from every state in the country, with people putting up money to enter it from every state in the country, it's a really good sign for the concept of the series.
Let's take a look at the semi-finals, which will be run at Sandown on Thursday night. Four of those, so that means that the two, first and second, do make it through to the final, I believe.
That's correct, yep.
Yep, so Heat 1, St David, off the red. I really like this greyhound's run on Thursday night.
Yeah, he's a really, really smart dog. He's got his little quirks, but when he's on, he's a very, very fast greyhound. He came into the series on the back of a hand slip last Wednesday where he broke 23 seconds, which is absolutely low flying. Only the elite dogs can run that sort of time. And he did that, and from the red box on Thursday, he showed what he's capable of. He ran 29.35, 39.5, I think exactly, but he was brilliant. And from the red box, he certainly comes into contention there in the semi-final.
And it was his first 500 run in a race start since the 29th, or it was prior to the 29th of December, where he'd had a couple of 450s, I think. So I think this greyhound, if he's injury-free and getting back to his best and what he's capable of, I think he'll put in a really good show. But the other greyhound, Dinah Forest, yeah, big run from him, strong greyhound, still trying to put it all together, but a big run from this youngster.
Yeah, absolutely. He's already shown himself capable at this group level. He has drawn a little bit awkwardly in that semi-final coming up with box four, but we know his class. He's a very, very smart dog, as you said, and his win on Thursday was full of merit. So he has to find a little bit in time. He only went 29.86, but we know he's got a little bit of improvement left in him, and certainly does come into contention.
He has won there at Sandown before in a 29.51, obviously an easier type of race than what he will be going into, but not without a chance if he gets some clear running. Now, semi-final number two, Slingshot Gypsy. Gee, she shanghaied out of the boxes, didn't she? And she's come up with the red also, ran a 4.94 to the first mark.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real trait of the series. There's a lot of dogs that have that brilliant early speed, 4.94. They don't go much faster, and was good enough to hang on. Went 29.64 overall, which wasn't one of the faster heats, but when you're out in front like that, you create your own luck. And coming up with a very favourable draw as well, it's got box one. If it can begin like it did last week, then it's certainly going to give something to catch.
And, of course, Beast Unleashed. Hasn't he been a sensation? His last three starts at Sandown, he's in semi-final two as well, jumps from box six.
He's a very, very exciting greyhound. The connections have targeted his race a long way out. He won a maiden up at Grafton or somewhere up in New South Wales very early on, and tabbed the launching pad from that point on. He had a couple of trials leading into the series. Had his first race start on a Sunday, and even though he ran fifth, the amount of trouble he found was, for mine, it was probably his most impressive run at Sandown of the four he's had. Found a heap of early trouble, found trouble down the back, got clear, looked like making a run, and then found more trouble, but chased all the way to the line. For a young dog, that is a really good sign. He's brilliant early. He has gone 4.94. I think there's so much upside with this dog. He's got a little bit of improvement. Box 6 may test him on Thursday night in the semi-final, but he does look like he'll get a little bit of space with Dinah Roscoe on his inside and Canley Strider on his outer. If he can get that space, he's a very fast dog. It's going to be a mad dash with Slingshot Gypsy to the first turn.
Another mention I just wanted to quickly talk, or a dog I wanted to mention, is Bago Bye Bye. Only his second start on Thursday night. That's a big ask coming from Ipswich area as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Darren Russell set him down. I'm not sure he was all that confident going in, but first look at the track, it was a very impressive run. I think that's one that, you know, you look over a 3-week series, you want to see those dogs that have a little bit of improvement in weeks 2 and 3, and I think he certainly fits that bill.
Semi-final 3, Especial Shiraz is jumping from box 5 at Let All The Way Railed. Well, looks like it does like the rails, a 29.61. That was an upset, one at $27.20.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of really nice types in that race. She's Gifted was very good behind Beast Unleashed last week, and Hunk of Papa was undefeated coming in. But Put Better to the winner, it was too good. Paid $27. Well done if you found it, but a very, very impressive winner.
And Dinah Patty comes up with box 8 in semi-final 3 as well, a 29.44. Handled box 7 very well at only her third start.
Yeah, the first start run at Sandown in 29.65 and didn't really fire a shot in the maiden final the following week. But I know that Alice have a huge rap on it, and Dinah Roscoe, both out of the same litter. Went around at $10, which is, it was big overs after the fact. That a very, very smart dog has come up with box 8 again. I don't think the white box will worry it too much. And as I said, a very, very high opinion from the kennel of this dog.
And semi-final 4, Come On Emmeline, a Navajo Bear. He was a terrific run as well. A few probably hard luck stories here. Chief Sidekick, a good run from him. But Come On Emmeline seems to be getting stronger. One at 10-1 as well, a 29.59. But 5.12 might need to find something a little bit early.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm really happy for Joe Borg to find a winner in this series. He's supported it from the whole concept from day dot and hasn't had a lot of luck. He was a very happy man after picking up that win there. But as you said, we'll have to find a little bit there. Navajo Bear was a fantastic run. Dave Crawford had 2 in the series. Jackie Shoshone was a little bit disappointing in his heat, but for Navajo Bear to come out and win the way he did the following heat certainly put a smile on David's face. So very, very smart chance there.
Did you find him $21.70 again?
I did not. No, I found a couple of winners on the card, but no, I didn't have it, unfortunately.
So the overall series, Mick, who do you like to take out the series final?
I'm a huge rap for Beast Unleashed. I think he's a dog that will go on and win many, many good races. But looking at the box draw, looks Slingshot Gypsy certainly comes into it from that same semi-final. I think there's a bit of improvement from a few of the interstaters as well. Waterloo Manelli is one of those, has come up with a red in the third semi-final. St David, of course, is in with a real show. But one to keep an eye on throughout, I think, is Beast Unleashed. He's I can't speak highly enough of the Greyhound, and as I said, I think he's going to go on, not just in this series, but in future series as well.
I don't think you'll find any arguments from anyone over that, Michael. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations on the start of a good series again, and then it's not long until we've got the Sandown Cup and the Speed Series and all that. It just keeps continuing.
It certainly does. The kids' night on the final night, of course, the 29th of March. It is one of our biggest nights of the year, and as you said, straight into the Speed Star straight after that. And a lot of these dogs will be heading that way as well. So nice little form reference for you going in there.
It certainly is. Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
All Greyhounds, every Saturday, across Victoria. RSN 927 is Talking Greyhounds.
Always good to chat to Mick Floyd out at Sandown as they continue that rich launching pad next Thursday night. Dogs to follow, Simone, we've had a bit of success here.
We have. Well, last week's dog to follow, Beast Unleashed, he won his heat of the launching pad. It was a brilliant run, the way he got across that field and just showed enormous early pace. So this week's dog to follow is St David after another outstanding run. First up in a launching pad heat in 29.39. It was his first run since the 29th of December. And it was his first 500-metre run too, so I think he's one to follow throughout the series and very, very strong, and he's come up with the red again in his semi-final.
Oh, gee. 29.39, that's free-for-all class, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that will win you a group race.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we've got some smart young pups there. We will see next Thursday, as, of course, Mickey just told us about. What about a best bet, Simone?
Star of Magic tomorrow at Sandown, race 9, number 1. He's had two starts. Both of those have been from box 8, but his debut at the Meadows, he ran 30 and 16. A moderate beginner, but his first read and he looks well boxed.
All right, that is race 9, number 1 at Sandown tomorrow afternoon. Star of Magic, what's coming up this week in the world of chasing?
Well, like we've mentioned, Easter Egg heats tonight, Launching Pad semis next Thursday, and the Greyhound Community Adoption Day today.
Good show, Simone. We'll talk next Saturday morning.
We will. Thank
you. In the meantime, you keep those tails wagging. Short break coming up here on RSN 927. The other side, we'll go talking trots and have a good look at tonight's Group 2 Kilmore Cup.
We'll be uploading the best of today's Talking Greyhounds to rsn.net.au.